I want to thank God for this very special day. In God's calendar, that started just a few minutes ago. Well, for us, it's not sundown yet, so I guess it's still. But in real terms, at sundown, the most holy day in God's calendar started. It's called Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur. Hallelujah. It's a special day. It's the Day of Atonement. I was thinking, meditating on something this afternoon, and I really considered when the Lord will come. He will come at about this time of our year. You say, why do you say that? Because some 9-10 days ago, we celebrated Rosh Hashanah, which is the new year, which is also the Feast of Trumpets. The Bible tells us that at the blast of the last trumpet, the Lord will come. Amen? So we have, at the beginning point, Rosh Hashanah, the Feast of Trumpets. And if you move it up, you come to the Day of Atonement, which is the day not only of, wow, not only is the day of the covering of sins, as is stated in the Old Testament, but also is the day of God bringing us to a place of equivalence, as stated in the New Testament. A day of transformation, but it's also a day of judgment. So somewhere between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, I believe the Lord will come. But if we give it a stretch, the next holy day, a few days from now, is called the Feast of Tabernacles. Oh, that makes a lot of sense. The Feast of Tabernacles. That's when God tabernacles with his people. So within these three holidays, that's why I say, I believe it's going to happen here. I think every September the devil is very scared because it might be the last one. Amen. But it's also a time that God refreshes, renews, strengthens, upholds, encourages his people, revives his people to focus on a new season. This is the time that God determines what happens for the new year. And one of these days, he's going to determine the finality of time that is timeless. Amen? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. You know, it's interesting to me that this is the time that the new school year happens in most every country I know in the world. This is when you start your new class. Isn't it amazing that that might just be the same thing for us, that in September, one of these Septembers, I think it's going to be more September than an October. Now, I'm not forming a doctrine here, please. I'm just reflecting as I was reflecting before the Lord. You know, today, I don't know the day, but I think you say I can know this season. It's going to be this season. This is a special time for us. Well, what does this mean? It means any time now, the Lord can choose. He can determine when he wants to come. He can choose any time he wants to come. That's not left for us. That's left for the Father. Amen? To make that decision. But one thing is certain. One thing is very certain. If we do not have forgiveness, we don't get to be with him. You may think that's just a light statement, but I think it's the most important statement for us to consider. If we don't have forgiveness, we don't get to be with him. Why did he come? He came to bring about forgiveness of sins for us. But the Lord makes a very striking statement. It's a statement that we visited just a few days back. I believe it was last Friday. We prayed through the Lord's Prayer. And in the 12th verse, he says, "And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors." In the 14th verse, he goes back to that same statement. After he talked about, "And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen." He goes back. "For if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." If you don't forgive, your Father won't forgive you. And if you are not forgiven, then you are yet in your sins. And sin is not going to come into God's heaven. Amen? We do grasp that, right? So we have to forgive. It's of utmost importance that we forgive. Does forgiveness mean that we condone the actions perpetrated by the one who has offended? No. It doesn't mean that we condone it. It just means that we make the decision that that thing is not going to puncture or poison the essence of who God is, which is love in my life. That I choose to walk in love. I don't condone it, but I choose to walk in love. I don't give that thing license, power, or authority over any aspect of my life, because the God that I serve and the God who lives in me is greater than that thing. What causes us to be offended? We get offended because somebody ultimately wants to take or abuse something that is special in my life. They want to take or abuse something that's special in my life, ultimately. If you think about it, every offense boils down to that one aspect. They're trying to take something from me or abuse something that concerns me. They're trying to take my money. They're trying to take my peace. They're trying to abuse who I am and reduce me to something. They are envious. They're jealous. They're whatever. And if I give them the power and the authority to be that in my life, then I submit myself to their lordship. Please consider. I submit myself to their lordship because now they have the power to control me like a puppet. But the one I say is Lord is the one who is risen from the dead. And he is love. So I must choose. No matter how bad the situation is, I must choose to surrender myself to the lordship of him who is supreme over all. And when I do so, I do not condone their actions. I agree with the goodness and the greatness of God. Amen? That's where forgiveness is. Me agreeing with God that I'm who he says I am and not what this person or that circumstance is trying to make me to be like. They're trying to make me look like I am foolish. I choose not to accept that. I choose to accept the fact that the one who is the all-knowing, all-wise God lives inside of me and that I have the mind of Christ. That's what I agree with. I have the mind of Christ. I have the mind of Christ. I have the mind of Christ. No, you stupid. No, I have the mind of Christ. So I agree with the fact that I have the mind of Christ, so I don't have to be upset and angry about this. So forgiveness then is me belittling whatever it is that is trying to reduce me to its level so I can be under it. That makes sense? I'm refusing to be calibrated by satanic agendas. I refuse that. I am not going to be under your thumb. I do not submit to your thinking. I submit to the thoughts of God concerning me. Praise the Lord. So ultimately, the power of forgiveness is tied to who is Lord. Oh, is that why it says right after, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil, for because thine is the kingdom? Yeah. You're the one who is in charge. And you'll not lead me into temptation, the temptation of thinking that anything else is in control of my life. Or anyone, or any circumstance. So you stole my money. Once upon a time, I did not have that money. And then once upon a time, I had that money. And now you stole it. And there will be another once upon a time, I got all my money back. But the money does not define me. If I think that the money defines me, then I'm going to do everything crazy just to get my money back. I'm going to lie, I'm going to cheat, I'm going to kill, I'm going to maim, I'm going to do whatever it is I can do to get the money back. Oh, but God is my provider, God is my source. Everything I have came from him. He has more than enough. So you think you're taking my money is going to impoverish me? Tell you what. There's a God who provides for me new stuff every day. I don't have to start going to court to do this or doing that or doing this or doing that. No, I am going to trust God to fight the battle for me. And if God wants to get it from there, he will get it from there. If God wants me to pursue it, I do it under his lordship. God, what do you want me to do about this situation? That's the bottom line. God, what do you want me to do? Lead me not into temptation. Thine is the kingdom. Thine is the power. Thine is the glory. God, what do you want me to do about this situation? Should I pursue? Yes, pursue. You will surely overtake and you're going to recover all. That's exactly what I'm going to do. And I'm going to do it passionately because God has authorized me to do so. Amen? Hallelujah? No. Let it alone. Okay? What else do you want me to do? Look unto me, the author and the finisher of your faith. That's what I do. Amen? Praise the Lord. So forgiveness is very crucial at this time. It's the time that God forgives us, cleanses us of all unrighteousness. A few years ago, the Lord told us to, not that we are buying an atonement, He said to us at that time, that was I guess about 2 years ago, he said, I want a special offering, an atonement offering from you. I said to the Lord, I said, what amount is that? I don't know what, you know. He said, bring a dollar. I said, but you've already paid the price. He says, just to remind you, every day, I paid the price, a full price, for your redemption. It was not a doctrine. It was just an act. He called us to do it. And we did it for a full year. And some have continued since that time to do it. Just to remind, yeah, I remember, Jesus paid the price for my atonement. I want to make a statement at this point, if I continue. For about a week and a half now, I believe, the Lord has been speaking to me about this Yom Kippur, and he said, I want you to ask my people to bring me water. So I'll announce it to you now. Everybody, tomorrow when you come, bring a bottle of water with you. Now, let me say, because we're covering the world, right? There's no doctrine about this. This is just an instruction. He said, when you lay your hands on that water, it will be like the water from the river of God. So I want to say that to you today. Go to Safeway, wherever it is, you know, if you want to get the tap water, get the tap water. Those of you listening online, we may not be able to touch you right there, but the Spirit of God will touch you. You get your bottle of water. You say, what are you going to do with that bottle of water? Whatever it is God leads you to do. Whatever God leads you to do. You may want to put that water on your credit card that is just piled up with bills. You may want to put it in your house. You may want to sprinkle a little bit here, whatever it is. I don't know what God is going to instruct you to do. God is going to speak to everyone on what they need to do about that. Amen? So that's that set aside. Forgiveness. Is it important? Maybe the most important thing you'll do in your life, other than praising God. Forgiveness. Is it hard? You must be kidding me. Maybe more, one of the most difficult things you challenge to do. More difficult than giving is forgiveness. More difficult than giving your money is giving that emotional clearance. It says, I am not going to allow you to control my life. You see, who wants somebody else to control their life? Let me tell you something. The person that you have not forgiven is still controlling you. 50 years from now, they'll still be controlling you. They may be dead and gone, and they're still controlling you from the grave. If you want to surrender your life to the control of another person, practice unforgiveness. And if you practice that, then you have another Lord. And the only people that will step through the gates that come into the presence of God are those who are totally surrendered and loyal to the Lordship of the living God. If you have another Lord, you don't get to come in. Because that other Lord might still be controlling you, and God is not going to have another rebellion in his presence. Amen? Jesus, let me put it this way in my own nice, very good, proper English, ain't going to die no more. Not for another world. He died once for this world, and is not dying again. Amen? There is not going to be another rebellion. People who forgive are true worshipers. A true worshiper forgives. Somebody who is not a true worshiper of God cannot forgive. If you're willing to forgive, then you are bringing yourself to a place where you're declaring once and for all, I have one Lord who reigns over my life. I belong to him, and he takes care of business. God fights for you when you let God fight for you. If you don't let God fight for you, then you get to fight for yourself. I know I've told you this story many times. At least 3 times I must have told this story. Many years ago, just down the street here, building just a block from there called the Holy Ghost Fraternal something. We used to have church services in the banquet hall there in the basement. It was a nice place. It was way better than where we were. Oh, we felt at home in this place. We had good relationships with the board, and then a new board came up, and this new board decided they didn't want a church in the facility. And we'd given us a month to vacate the premises. I was so upset. How dare they tell us that we can't be here when the previous board already told us we can have the place for the next year? Where do they want us to go? I'm going to sue these people and force them to keep us in that building. I don't know what craziness I was thinking, but I was thinking it. So I called some of my spiritual daughters that were lawyers. I was firing up this letter. I'm going to send it to them, to that board, and tell them, you cannot. And they were willing to write me the letter. And as I was griping and complaining about this, the Lord says to me, so you want to fight this battle, or do you want me to fight it? I want you to fight it. Then stop this foolishness. But God, what am I going to do? Says, do you want me to fight it? Or do you want to fight it? Make the decision. Lord, I want you to fight it. Okay, come along. So I got in my car. I'm driving down Henderson Highway. And I've been in this city for years, driven down Henderson Highway, I don't know how many times. And I'm going down Henderson Highway, and the Lord points out to a church building, John Black United Church. He says, go there, ask the pastor there to use the church. You know, I've been going down that, never noticed that building. Okay. So I pulled by, got phone number, called, told the pastor my problem. He said, come see me. So I went down, and he says, okay, when do you normally have your service? I told him, from this time to this time. He says, that's when we normally have ours. What about this sport? Give me an afternoon segment. From about 12:30 or something like that till about 2-3 o'clock. I said, I'll be perfect. We'll take that. So we were there for about a month. I went to pay this man for the use of the time, and he says, forget it. You don't need to. It's on us. Do you know what? If I'd stayed in this place over here, I wouldn't have been able to pay the rent for that month. There was not enough offering to pay. So the bad news was good news for me. Praise the Lord. But see what unforgiveness does. I still didn't forget that. So one time, this is serious fessing up. There's another group over here, I think it's a Polish building, just on the other side of whatever, it's a cathedral over here. They called me, and they want to use that church building. By the time we've moved to this place, I said to them, I didn't know, I thought those guys were these guys. So I said to them, so now you're coming to ask me to use my building, right? I don't think so. That's what unforgiveness does. It makes you act crazy. Then it dawned on me afterwards, no, those people are those people, and these people are these people. What happens when you allow unforgiveness to come in? It slides in there and settles itself. Even though God had made provision for us, the hurt that somebody had the audacity to tell me to get out of their own building. Their own building. It's not mine. It's theirs. But I like the place. Therefore, I must stay here. Really? How many people are going about bitter because they think somebody owes them. You owe me. You owe me. Therefore, this is how and this is what you're going to do. That's all I was doing. There's no way of sugarcoating this. It was a total mess up. And now that poison is affecting somebody else. Have you ever been in a situation where somebody just comes and starts raining on you and you're wondering, what on earth did I do? I did nothing. All I said was hi. And hi became Third World War. What on earth is happening here? Well, the hi is not about the hi. It's about the bitterness they've carried from somewhere else. And you happen to be the dumpster they want to dump on. Now you can either accept that and say, okay, I received that. Or you can say, that's not me. I have a Lord who's loved me with an everlasting love. He's covered me. He's forgiven me. He's redeemed me. He has saved me. He has healed me. He's Lord over my life. I am not going to allow this to ruin my day. Or you embrace it and become bitter. This guy is a terrible guy. This guy is a wicked guy. This is guy that blah, 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 and so on and so forth. And now you carry that same bitterness and you dump it on somebody else who dumps it. You know, it's paying it forward. And that's what most times we do. We pay it forward. And it's not good. It's bad stuff. And what God says to us about forgiveness is this. Stop it. When it got to you, stop it there. That way does not continue. Cut the line there. That way does not continue. Because if you buy into it, you're going to fill yourself with it, and you're going to keep on speaking it, and speaking it, and speaking it. And somebody else is going to pick it up and speak it, and somebody else is going to pick it up and speak it, and before you know it, you're defined by that foolishness. That's now your life. And at this time of Yom Kippur, actually starting from Rosh Hashanah till now, which are the 10 days of awe, people are encouraged, commanded by God to extend forgiveness one to the other and to receive forgiveness. Because with unforgiveness, you don't get to get into the kingdom of God. With unforgiveness, which becomes bitterness, you embitter your life. It causes you to be sick. It ages you. It affects your organs. It poisons your blood. The blood of somebody who's practicing unforgiveness is full of venom. It kills. And someone might be thinking, what do you mean by that? A mother was just given birth. Was filled with bitterness because of something that happened. And while breastfeeding the child died. They traced the death of the child to the milk of the mother. Because the milk of the mother had become poison. Because of bitterness. And when you become bitter, it stays in your system for no less than 3 days. Poison. So you can actually be poisoning yourself and killing yourself, killing your organs. Unforgiveness will age you. God wants unforgiveness out of our lives. Amen? You got to get rid of it. You got to put a stop to it and say, I am better than that. You are not going to take charge of my life, because unforgiveness will change your attitude. It will change your facial makeup. Unforgiveness will make a beautiful person ugly. We see it all the time, don't we? And no amount of mascara, no amount of, you know, in Nigeria we call it pancake. No amount of powder is going to fix it. The ugliness that comes out of bitterness is true ugliness. But when you forgive, it changes your status. It gives you a different flow. The blood flows properly, and you come alive. Amen? You come alive. It brings healing. It brings about restoration. And at this time, as we begin Yom Kippur this day, let us consider this. What is it that I'm holding on to? Who is it that I am holding unforgiveness towards? You know that you hold unforgiveness when a name is mentioned and you remember somebody and you remember whatever it is that they did. And your facial structure changes. Your blood pressure rises. You know you've got unforgiveness. You've not really dealt with that issue yet. Now, question. Is that person worth your eternal soul? Because I can tell you this. If that person has received forgiveness from God, that person is going to go to heaven and you're going to hell. Now that'll be double loss. Or else, that person you're going to have to stay with for all eternity. For all eternity, you're going to stay with that ugly face, that guy who messed with you, you're going to stay there with him. For all eternity, you think about it. Is that person or that situation worth it? Unforgiveness. It's a decision. Forgiveness is a decision. Love is a decision. And we need to address that decision. Hear this. The Lord dealing with the issue of forgiveness and unforgiveness through the message of the Beatitudes comes all the way through, and he says in Luke 7, I'm going to read the first few verses and then I'm going to go to verse 13. He says in Luke 7, or Matthew 7 rather, Matthew 7, judge not that ye be not judged. Judge not that ye be not judged. You know what happens when we hold on to unforgiveness? We're making a judgment. And the judgment is what punishment this person deserves. And you think that after they get the so-called judgment that you think they deserve, that you get to be free. Okay, yeah, now I'm happy. Nobody really gets happy after the judgment is applied. There's no real true closure. Because the problem that got them that sentence has not really been solved. So they killed somebody, a loved one. They put in jail, or they got killed. You think now, I am going to be happy? No, the person that they killed is still dead. So ultimately, the judgment that we give is not final. And God says, be careful, judge not that ye be not judged. For with what judgment ye shall judge, ye shall be judged, and with what measure you meet, it shall be measured to you again. You decide not to forgive people, people will decide not to forgive you too. And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, let me pull out the mote out of thine eye, and behold, a beam is in thine own eye? The Lord says to us, listen. You've got issues too. That's the bottom line. You've got issues too. Maybe your issue is not as big as theirs, but you've got issues. And as long as you've got issues, you cannot really fix theirs. Get rid of your issue, and then you'll be able to help them. The only way you can help somebody that has hurt you is by forgiving them first. And then you'll have the presence of mind to be a conduit of healing to them. You love them, and you can speak into their lives. Thou hypocrite, he says, first cast out the beam of thine own eye, and then shalt thou see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye. Deal with yourself first. But here is a striking statement. The Lord says, give not that which is holy unto the dogs, neither cast ye your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn again and rend you. What is he talking about? He's just simply saying, that guy's a dog. That one that hurt you, that's a dog, that's a swine. So, don't give your goodies to the swine, to the dog. I forgive you, here's $20. Hey, the guy's going to turn against you for that $20. Who do you think you are? You think you're better than me? I know I hurt you. And now you're trying to be what? Holy than me? He's going to attack you for trying to be nice. So God says, shut it down. Mind your business. Watch if there's a response from that guy that he really needs help. Then you, without the blockage of love, can bring healing to them. But don't you start acting up before they are ready. What people do many times, they start acting so nice and holy and so kind and wonderful, and you just created another bigger enemy. And the Lord says, give not that which is holy unto the dogs. People that keep on returning to their vomit. Don't give. Neither cast ye your pearls before swine. What do swine do? They keep on going back to the dirt. A person that has created a pattern and you know this is who they are and what they are about, forgive them and take a hike. Don't hang around. You know somebody's done something evil. They've not repented of it. They're still acting. You're still having coffee with them. They will kill you. They will kill you. You know with your both of your eyes, both of your ears, you know what this person has done. And you are still FaceTiming and you're still friending them on your Facebook. Sooner or later, they will poison your heart. Oh, I'm just being nice. No, you're being very foolish. The Lord told you, lest they trample those things that you're giving to them under their feet and turn again and rend you. They will tear you apart. Oh, well, it's a brother. No. The Bible says dog. The Bible says swine. He didn't say brother. Is somebody listening? Or am I talking to myself? Let me wrap up. Verse 13. Enter ye in at the straight gate. For wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. There's a narrow pathway and there's a wide gate. But then he says, because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Question. Many and few, which is the greater? Many. You know what that means? More people are going to hell than to heaven. What did I say? More people are going where? To hell than to heaven. More people are following the pathway of deception and not the pathway of pure, true righteousness. I was talking to a man that I dearly respect. In a meeting together. And he was talking about what is happening in our world today. What's happening in our world today? In most of our churches, the couples that are in the church are not married. Did you know that? 80% or close to 80% of couples in churches are not married. They come in together as a couple, but they've never gone to the altar to say, I do. But they may be speaking in tongues, but they may be lifting up their hands and saying, holy, holy. I wonder what kind of holiness that is. A great number of our church folks are committing abortions. But the church is packed. There's 10,000, there's 20,000, there's 30,000 people. Good messages. Maybe it lasts maybe some 20, 30 minutes. Everybody's excited, lights flashing, everything is so nice. But the word of God is still, it says, because they're hearing a message. It's called the message of grace, which is not the grace. Peter actually talks about this in 2 Peter 3. He says, if some people are reading the writings of Paul, some of the things that Paul is writing is, God gave him a wisdom to write this stuff. He said, but some people are wrestling with this as they do with other scriptures to their own destruction. God talks about holiness. He wants you and I to be holy. He wants you and I to walk in purity. And the Lord says, there is a straight gate, and there is a narrow way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Few. But the previous verse 13 says, there is a wide path, and many are on that path that leads to destruction. So the question we must ask ourselves at this time is this. Am I on the narrow path that leads to life, or am I on the wide road that leads to destruction? Which one am I on? Is that a fair question? I think so. So he says, beware. Someone said, beware. Of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. You shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Thorns and thistles. That's the result of sin. The judgment of sin. Yeah? So if there's sin being practiced, But they're gathering grapes and figs. God says, that should tell you something's wrong here. Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. Is an evil fruit a fruit? Is it? If it's an evil fruit, is it fruit? Of course it is fruit. But it's an evil fruit. But who says an evil fruit tastes bitter? Was it a fruit that was bad to taste and to look at? That was the evil fruit? Oh, well, something nice is happening here. It's got to be good. It's got to be good. It's got, oh, get away me. Get away from me, you prophet. I never knew you. But we healed in your name, and we cast out demons in your name, and we did this, and we did that. And I never knew you. Get up. It's a false prophet, a prophet. It's a prophet, but it's false. Does it mean that because he's false, because what he said did not come to pass? Oh, no. That's where we miss it. We think a false prophet prophesies, and what he prophesied did not come to pass. No, a false prophet can prophesy and it comes to pass, but his life is leading people to destruction. That's a false prophet. A true prophet will lead you to life. Oh, the pathway may be narrow, but it's leading you to life. You can do whatever it is you want to do. That's the wide road. It's going to lead to destruction. Watch it. Well, the atonement. Jesus paid the price for it all. Yeah. He paid the price for somebody who acknowledges that he has sinned. And guess what the false prophet says? Oh, you don't need to repent. You're already forgiven. You don't need to repent. No, that's for somebody else. For you, you're a believer. What are you repenting for? It's okay. Really? I wonder what 1 Corinthians... Who wrote 1 Corinthians chapter 6 anyway? I wonder, was it the guy called Paul? It's Paul. Oh, and Paul is the one who wrote about grace, isn't it? This kind of people shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Neither fornicators. Oh, there's some people called fornicators. Well, they don't get to get into the kingdom of God. Oh, don't go to grace. It's grace. It's grace. Oh, but who wrote about grace? Paul. Oh, but Paul is contradicting himself. Oh, let's throw the Bible out. There's contradiction here. Oh, yes. I'm having too much fun for a serious matter. The atonement is about the coverage of sin, but in the New Testament, it's more than just covering sins. It's more than kafar, covering, hiding for a while, until the master fixer comes, who does not only take away our sins, but gives us the ability to live uprightly. That's a different word, katalage. We'll talk about that some other time. Forgiveness is about God empowering us to recognize who is Lord. If you forget everything I said today, don't forget that one point, that forgiveness is about recognizing who the Lord is. Is it the person who is offending you that's going to be Lord? Or are you going to point out to the one who is truly Lord, the living God, and say, he's Lord, and he determines how I feel, how I'm going to act, not you. Not you circumstance, not you person, not you devil, God. I settle the case. Rise with me. Heavenly Father, we are totally surrendered to your will and to your word, and we say, God, truly be God in our lives. We don't want the corruption of a corruptible seed in our lives. You birth us with an incorruptible seed, and therefore we can only bear good fruit. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that we will not be the tree that bringeth not forth good fruit, and therefore is hewn down and cast into the fire. We belong to you. Water us, O God, with the river of God. Water us. Honor your name in our lives and help us, O God, to honor you by our daily lifestyle, the way we speak, the way we carry ourselves, the way we do things. Let everything about us honor you. Thank you, Lord, for this day, for Yom Kippur. We rest in your loving kindness and your tender mercies. Blessed be your holy name forever. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. We bless you. Those of you who joined us today in sharing in this word, may the Lord continue to guide and keep you. And I trust that something that was said today that caught your attention, so that you can, in the wisdom of God, continue in the word of truth. And as you continue, find rest in the presence of our Heavenly Lord and Savior. May God's peace garrison your heart. And tomorrow I've encouraged everyone here to bring a bottle of water with them. And I hope that those of you listening online, if you are not here in Winnipeg, that you hold one with you. Tomorrow, we will make a point of contact. Now, as I said at the very beginning of this gathering tonight, the water is not something doctrinal. It's just an instruction from the Lord, a one-time instruction that he's given to me to carry out. Just like he turned water into wine, he's going to do something with that water and as a point of contact to minister to you, your family, and all that pertains to you. I look forward to seeing you tomorrow evening for a wonderful time in the presence of the Most High God. God bless you, and have a wonderful, wonderful Yom Kippur.